The one practice that I think almost all Florida citrus growers use now, low-volume irrigation. It's been in use for decades. Tell us about low-volume irrigation and how it works.
Okay, low-volume irrigation is where we use what we call microsprinkler irrigation underneath the tree. And those emitters typically put out somewhere between 10 and 20 gallons per hour per emitter. And what we're doing there is we're not only having the sensible heat that's associated with well water in Florida, but also when water changes states from a liquid to a solid, it also gives off heat. That heat is therefore kept around that tree and in that canopy of that tree so that it does afford some protection. Really, microsprinkler irrigation was first, I think, started to be used quite a bit was in the mid-80s after the freezes. And I think we saw where microsprinkler irrigation could protect young trees fairly well, and we've had different variations of that where growers now elevate sprinklers in young trees to afford themselves a little bit more protection. And we've also seen in some instances where we have actually been able to show that under the right conditions, microsprinkler irrigation underneath the canopy of a mature tree will actually increase the air temperature within the canopy as compared to the air temperature outside the grove.
So not just for young trees, people traditionally think that, but it can help, might save some of your fruit crop.
Well, I don't know about the fruit crop, but I will say that it does seem to modify the microclimate within the canopy of a mature tree. And depending on the conditions, that can be, if you have wind, everything's mixed up, so it's not really much benefit there. But as the winds calm down, and the one study that we did a few years ago where we just looked at it, and it was a study, it wasn't a research project, but it did demonstrate that there was 2 to 3 to, under certain conditions, maybe 4 degrees increase in temperature within the canopy of that tree. But it was specific, again, to the amount of water that was being put out, the tree density of the grove. So not everybody's results will be exactly the same, but there was some benefit there.
A few tips for growers using microsprinkler irrigation for cold protection. I know there are some things about starting time, shutoff time, keeping the water going when you are using low-volume irrigation for cold protection.
Okay, with low-volume irrigation, you need one of the most important things that you need to realize is what is the evaporative cooling potential and what is the wet bulb temperature, and also the critical temperature at which you feel like you need to start that irrigation system. Most of our systems are small microsprinkler systems, so they need to be started before you get down to 32 degrees because you don't want the emitters to freeze up. So once you make the decision that you are going to run, that system does need to continue to run, because if you get any wind at all, you start to get evaporative cooling. What will and can occur is that the temperature will not drop just to the air temperature. It will actually drop down to the wet bulb temperature, which is colder than air temperature, and that's what we call evaporative cooling. So once you get the system running during the freeze event, you want to make sure that you monitor those conditions of dew point and air temperature and wet bulb temperature the next day to make sure that before you shut off that microsprinkler irrigation system, that the wet bulb temperature is above the critical temperature for the crop that you're protecting. In our case, we're talking about citrus, so you want to make sure that the wet bulb temperature is above that critical temperature before you make a decision to cut off the microsprinkler system.
Wind machines, how much are they used in Florida and what do they do?
Well, there are some wind machines still left around. They're probably not as popular as they have been in the past. With the use of low-volume irrigation, wind machines aren't used quite as much as they used to be, but they're very beneficial under specific freeze conditions, specifically radiation freezes. An advective freeze is a windy freeze, so why would you crank up a wind machine in a windy freeze? Because the wind's already blowing. And radiation freezes is when you get those calm conditions and you get what we call an inversion developing. And the inversion, a development of an inversion, is when the air above the ground is warmer than the air at the ground, at the surface of the ground. And so that difference, what a wind machine does, is it actually mixes that warmer air up above 30 feet or so with that colder air closer to the ground, and therefore kind of evens out that temperature in that area from the ground 30 feet up, and that does provide a little bit of protection in that respect during radiation freezes. A lot of times on the ridge, those wind machines are put in low areas and cold pockets where we know cold air drains, and that way they can have a tendency to mix up that cold air with some of the warmer air that's aloft in a grove under these radiation freeze conditions.
Tree wraps. Some people use tree wraps on young trees for cold protection, among other things.
Yeah, there are a few of those that are still out there that are used for cold protection, but most of what I have seen here recently have been more for controlling sprouts on new trees, reset trees in the grove. Wraps work fairly well, but you have to understand how they work, and the reason why wraps work is it's directly related to their insulating ability or the capacity of that wrap to insulate that tree trunk. Those with higher insulating values will slow the rate of temperature drop around the trunk of the tree, and that's how they really work. If it stays cold enough long enough, they can get down to that air temperature, but the idea is that you create that lag where you don't lose heat from around that tree until after sunrise, and then the temperature warms back up, so you get past that critical point in the night. And tree wraps can work in that respect. They were used originally. A lot of the work that we did was with microsprinklers and tree wraps. Tree wraps can afford some additional protection. But like I said, today, most of those that I've seen are to inhibit sprouts, not as much used for cold protection purposes, especially since we have microsprinkler irrigation.
Remember a few decades ago, some growers would bank young trees, put dirt up around them. Same principle as tree wraps. Is that done anymore?
Yes, the same principle. Soil has a high insulating capacity, so it was a favorite. But nowadays, with microsprinkler irrigation, it's really not used. There's some issues that can occur because the banks stay up during the winter, and if it gets hot and warm, you may have to partially bring down that bank to prevent damage to the trunk. There's also issues with Phytophthora because you are piling up dirt around that trunk of the tree, and it is quite labor-intensive. And for those reasons, I think most people today, there's not a lot of soil banking that goes on. Maybe in some of the very colder locations, that may be used to some degree. But typically, most folks are using microsprinkler irrigation for protection of young trees.
Ernie Neff, Southeast AgNet.